Welcome back to the Breakaway Tuition Podcast. You are with Alicia Griffiths. I am the owner and director of Breakaway Tuition. And today I have an awesome episode lined up for you. We are going to talk all about how to get our students and our children comfortable with being uncomfortable. So this is a big thing in learning and a big thing that I am finding continues to come up no matter how old I am. But let's dive in and we'll have a bit more of a chat about it inside. Breakaway. So like I said in the introduction, we are going to talk about learning and getting comfortable with being comfortable. And what can we do for our kids to make them feel like it is normal? And I think that's the biggest thing. It is normal to be uncomfortable when we are going along our learning journey. So let's talk about comfort zones and getting out of them. Now learning, and this came to me this morning, so I'll just put in front of everything that this is sounding a bit different because I'm recording it off my earphones instead of my pod mic normally. I am in a hotel room in the city and I have booked in to the most swish hotel I've ever been in my life. I'm completely out of my comfort zone and completely out of my comfort zone in the fact that I'm also spending time meeting other people who are building businesses and have businesses who earn a lot more than I do. But I've put myself out there. So this is how this episode has come about. I am completely uncomfortable in so many ways, on so many levels. But this morning, as I was having my coffee, I was thinking about why in learning do we feel uncomfortable and what about learning makes us feel uncomfortable? Not just us, like not adults, but kids. And I think that's the most important thing, is that we need our kids to understand that when they are learning new things, that they are going to feel uncomfortable and it is going to be an uncomfortable process, but we need to get our kids to feel comfortable with being uncomfortable, which is a bizarre thing to say, but really interestingly, so I'm actually reading this one today, reading this podcast because I did write it this morning and I had put down all of these terms that I've just said to you and a lot of the stuff today at the conference that I've been at all day, is all about being comfortable with getting uncomfortable. So I found that really interesting that I had already written these things down this morning before I went there. So I will talk to you a bit more about the journey I've been on at the end, but let's dive into it. So learning, it really is a series of getting uncomfortable with things that we don't know. You know, we want to listen to things, learn things, adjust to new information that we've been given, and then it's a series of slotting in the old information that we already have with the new information that we have learnt and then storing that in our short-term memory and transferring that to our long-term memory so that we can access that in the future. So when we think about learning and we think about our kids and we think about how our kids learn and their brains and all of those types of things and the way that we digest information and then use that information, you will see the same things occur. So why is it that in, you know, year one, we introduce students to the idea of what a fraction is, and then in year two, we do fractions, and in year three, we do fractions, and in year four, we do fractions. Basically, like, when you look at it, we know that each year extends and we put more information in for our kids so that they can manipulate and change these ideas in the terms of the context that they're currently in. But it is a series of giving our kids a piece of information about fractions. You know, the first thing that our kids might find out about fractions is that, well, a fraction is a whole or a whole shape, and the fraction, well, from the fraction of the whole shape, we color in these segments, and that's the fraction of the shape. And that might be the very first thing that we teach kids about fractions. That then morphs into, you know, what a numerator and a denominator is, and that then morphs into how do we add them together if they've got the same denominators, and then that morphs into, well, how do we add them if they've got different denominators? So you can see that in the curriculum and in our kids' learning that we start with one piece of information and the teacher does work on this piece of information, and then the next year we introduce a new piece of information. Now, what our kids' brains do is that when they're presented with the new piece of information, they need to access the old piece of information that they've received. They need to think about what information that they've received that is different or has changed, and then we need to apply it to our current situation and circumstances. So it is continually this exchange of information between our short-term memory. And so our short-term memory is, don't quote me on these figures, this is just from our memory from a very long time ago. Our short-term memory is like our 3 to 5 second memory, and then we transfer that into our long-term memory, which is, you know, the memories and things that we can access later on in life. But learning is essentially, what is the old piece of information I have? What is the new piece of information I have? And how has this changed and shifted? So let's just think about that again, though. So learning is a series of getting uncomfortable with the things that we don't know, you know, and it's getting comfortable with knowing that we are going to be uncomfortable. So every year that we are introduced to fractions, for example, we are pulled back into what we did the previous year so that our students can access that previous information and remember, oh, that's how I did that last year, or relearn that information in some regards because they could not remember it quite as clearly as other students. And then learning the new part of information and molding these two things together. And then it grows and grows and it grows. For some of us though, learning is continually uncomfortable. A lot of our students are uncomfortable with the learning process because they have felt that they didn't understand the first concept. And although we try to build on that concept as teachers, and we clearly see teachers going back to teach the original idea to then move that into a new thought process and a new idea, if our students didn't understand the idea in the first place, then they are going to feel uncomfortable because they might be surrounded by kids that are like, oh yeah, I know what this information is. Even if they don't, but they will be surrounded by kids that are demonstrating that they are understanding this old information, and then they are able to easily build and put building blocks on that. But for some of us, learning is continually challenging. So you can imagine why when we are faced with something new, when we are faced with something that is quite exceptionally challenging for us, you can imagine why we might stop engaging in that learning process, especially in the classroom where a student might feel like everything that they've done in a test, in an assignment, is wrong. They might have read things across the page. They might be failure stamped all over their work, even if it's not, or they'll feel like it is, or they'll feel like there's the sign failure stamped on their forehead or their reports. And we have a whole, and it's not, we have a whole bunch, a lot of students really feel left behind, and they really struggle with learning because they feel ashamed that the learning has been more difficult for them, and that because they haven't been able to pick up these ideas as easier or easier than their peers, or as, you know, as well as their peers, then they are instantly feeling like they're a failure. Now, I feel like we really need to shift this back a lot. And our kids really, really, they need to see that learning, when we're learning, it is uncomfortable. And when we are faced with things that really challenge us, not just challenge us in terms of academics, but challenges us in terms of human beings and who we are and who we perceive ourselves, we need to show them that, you know, we need to do things to step beyond that so that we can continue to grow beyond that. Now, there is a stack of fantastic information coming through, and information research coming through in education. I can see so many great reports and great resources and great ideas coming through about how we should change the styles of classrooms and how learning practices are changing to better benefit all students. I also see a lot of like high overarching institutes and societies also blanketing their methods as the correct methods, and nothing else is the correct method. So although there is a whole stack of fantastic research and, you know, evidence-based practices coming through, in those evidence-based practices at times, there is still a bank or a community of people that are, you know, saying there's only one way of learning. We only learn one way, which might be true in terms of the human brain, but in terms of personality and the way that our students absorb information isn't always correct or isn't always true. Now, I can see schools that are only giving banded grades, so like grade A, B, C, instead of raw marks, although that happens in senior schools more, and that's a time that I feel like our students really actually need their exact marks, so that they can see whereabouts in the band they are and where they can improve. I can see tiered assignments and differentiated assignments as well. But the problem is, and the problem will continue to be, that only the teachers who access this professional information are able to make these changes. And if you're one teacher in a sea of teachers, sometimes to make changes that are long-standing in a school can be extremely difficult to do. I must say, though, that I was extremely fortunate in the first few years of my teaching, in that I had a head teacher that allowed me, as a teacher, to differentiate. It allowed me flexibility within my classroom to really target what I believe those students would resonate with the most. And when I was creating, you know, year-based programs for history, for example, I was always thinking about what our students would resonate with the most, which I know is not the case in some schools. And in some schools, you are just told, this is what we're teaching, this is the topic, these are the texts, these are the things that you need to do, and you're not given any flexibility in that. My best teaching, I would say, was in my first few years, or when I was like doing modern history, for example, when I was the only teacher doing modern history, so I could pick the topics that were the best for my students. I believe that's when I was able to teach my best for my students. But that allowed me to choose novels and texts and poems and movies that were obviously in alignment with the curriculum outcomes, but they were things that I truly believed that my students would gain insight and understanding from, but most importantly, would engage with and would love the process that we engaged in. Because let's face it, some of the texts that are school-based texts, they're really stale. They're not engaging at all. And in fact, I honestly think that that is why there is a whole bank of students that dislike English, is because there is a lack of understanding in terms of what students really would engage with and get the most out of for whatever reason. Now, I'm not saying I was the world's most fantastic, brilliant teacher on the face of the planet. I definitely was not. I went through a lot of reflective processes and things, but I'm saying that in some schools, quality teaching and the idea of getting our students comfortable with challenge is easier than in other schools where it's mandated what the expectation is specifically or what you're teaching. Now, the point of this whole ramble is that we want to show our kids and our students that it is natural and human to feel uncomfortable and challenged at times, but that we also want to show them the process that we go through to overcome this challenge as well. So sometimes that might mean shifting the parts of knowledge that we have around topics and making changes in that. It might be a bit of mixing the old with the new. It might mean that we have to revisit a topic 10 times so that we have the base understanding before we can build on top of that, or that we accept that sometimes if we've done some changes, they might not have been the best changes to make, or we might have misinterpreted the topic in some way. Sometimes it is stepped way out of our comfort zones, and it's the process of doing something completely out of the box and completely uncomfortable to show that we can all do the things that make us uncomfortable, and that is the most important thing that we need to give to our kids. If we can show our kids that we personally are doing things that make us completely uncomfortable, then it shows our kids that there are things that you are going to find uncomfortable, but we need to step outside of that box to find that comfort in that uncomfortable thing. Now, today, as I was saying at the beginning, I am currently doing just that now, and I feel like on the last 5 years of my journey, I have done that continually. I have continually been challenged. I have continually felt uncomfortable, but I have continually had to push past that in some sense, and this is what we want to show our kids. Now, as I mentioned, I am in the city for 2 days at a business conference. So it finishes tomorrow, which is Friday. But that puts me in such an uncomfortable situation, and not just one uncomfortable situation. It puts me in so many uncomfortable situations. You know, there is lots of business owners out there that earn way a lot more than I do, turns over a whole lot more, has a whole lot more profit than what we have. They may have been in business for a very long time, and these were my thoughts and feelings from this morning when I first wrote all of this. But these people just keep developing and building their ideas, and, you know, once you know what they have been through, once you know that everyone is continuing to develop and build, then it means that I then have to push myself to be uncomfortable to get to that next point. Now, things like networking and talking to people make me so uncomfortable, because I'm not the best with meeting new people unless I'm talking to them about education. And I'm going to be stuck on an island with them where I was today. So the conference is at Cockatoo Island. So the only way I can get out of that is to jump ship or swim. But it makes me truly uncomfortable. Now, I didn't jump in the water today, and I've been in so many awkward and uncomfortable situations today, but, you know, I have learnt so much from feeling uncomfortable and making myself do these things that are quite uncomfortable. Now, on top of that, decided to book a Swiss hotel because, you know, it's close to the ferry terminal. That was my main thing. I don't know my way around the city. I'm not good at driving in the city. And so all of these things are super uncomfortable situations. you know, I never drive in the city, but I had to get myself here. And then they did valet parking, and that was something I've totally never done before. And the staff have bent over backwards to make my stay more comfortable. I've decided to get room service, things that I've never done before. I've never had room service before. That was just how the other side lives. But all of these things that I have never done before, I have had to do, you know, find the ferry, catch the ferry. Things that people do every day that they might not think of are the things that make me so uncomfortable because I've never had to do before. But the whole point of that is that these things make me uncomfortable, which means that I'm learning in these situations. I'm learning how to operate meeting new people or meeting people that I would be slightly intimidated by. I'm learning to operate, you know, my way around the city and finding my way around the city and how I fit into that. I'm learning how to read a ferry timetable, which is ridiculous at 33 years of age. But, you know, I'm putting myself into these super uncomfortable positions where I am having to access previous information that I have received to then reform and create new understandings and adjust from that. But it's that shifting with the old and new that is the point of what I wanted to get across today. Now, it's important for our kids to see us adjusting. It's important that they see when we are uncomfortable and when we are vulnerable. It's important that they also see that we are continuing to learn throughout our lives. You know, I think a lot of schooling is focused on the academics or, you know, sporting achievements and all of those types of things. But realistically, it's trying to get kids to see that it is building blocks that we build upon. And as an individual, you might have to go back and rebuild some of those building blocks at times, but it doesn't make you any less. It doesn't make you less of a person or less worthy of something. It doesn't make you dumb or stupid. It just means that you're on a different learning process to other people. And, you know, that learning is essentially a process of getting comfortable with being uncomfortable. If we continually put our barriers up, and if we continually watch our kids put their barriers up every time they are faced with an uncomfortable situation, instead of giving them the steps that they need to overcome that uncomfortable situation, then we're not truly giving our kids the best learning opportunities that we can, because it's in those processes of feeling uncomfortable, of feeling challenged, of adjusting our knowledge, of finding what makes us truly ourselves and accepting ourselves for that. That is where learning happens, and that's where the kids that struggle, if we have kids that struggle with learning or different aspects of learning, if they can see that we struggle as well, their mums, their dads, their grandpas, their grandmas, you know, aunties, uncles, if they can see that the people that they are surrounded with are also struggling with learning and different things, if you say to them, you know what, I really struggled with this at school as well, these are the things that help me. So give them the steps of what helps us when we're in those situations. And that is the greatest thing that we can give our kids, you know. Never stop showing your kids that you, the person that they look up to and they cherish, are still learning. Because the minute that we hide that from our kids, the minute that our kids just see that we know all of these things and we get all these things done all the time, but they don't see the process that we go on, then that is the greatest injustice you can give your kids. So, sorry about my messy rambling, but learning is a series of getting comfortable with being uncomfortable. And as parents and as teachers and as tutors and as mentors and as grandparents, we need for our children to see that we never stop learning and that we continue to learn our whole lives. It just might look a little different. Anyway, hope you guys love this episode. If you did love this episode, make sure you give us some love, give us a like, follow us on Spotify, let us know your thoughts, and I will catch you guys next week.